Wednesday, July 21st, 2015. At this time, I'm going to ask if there are any public comments. Okay, no public comments. We're going to move on to the meat of the discussion, which is on budget workshop number 4, 2015-2016 fiscal year, and then the budget enterprise funds. Cindy, I'm supposing that you're going to be the one that's going to lead us through this?
Yes, sir.
It's your show.
I see as finishing up, so we will start from internally.
I don't know what we wouldn't do without IT.
I shudder at the thought. I'm an end user in the G sense of the word, so when I press buttons and it doesn't do what it's supposed to, I'm like, help!
Is your machine plugged in?
I usually do the reboot thing before I call, because that's the first thing they tell you. Turn it off and turn it off. And if that doesn't do it, then I'm on the horn with my hair on fire. Okay, and this is our fourth workshop. The schedule has not changed since the last time, so we have one more workshop in which council will do the budget in its entirety. The budget in its entirety, and then we'll roll into our public hearing in September. Facilities and IT requests via a fund transfer from the reserve. All of the funds had met their 25% reserve requirement. And presently, we have all the enterprises budgeted at a 6% transfer. And we'll talk about, you know, what those amounts look like as we go from fund to fund. The first fund we're going to look at is stormwater. And again, stormwater is a special revenue fund, so it's like a trust. Therefore, stormwater does not have a transfer to the general fund. We are currently undergoing a rate study for the stormwater fund to ensure that the rate that we've been charging is adequate to cover the stormwater needs going forward. We have been able to secure grants, you know, stormwater, and that's been helpful for our CIP process. But we are concerned that stormwater, you know, their reserves are low as far as funding their full 5-year CIP plan. So once that rate study is complete, we'll be bringing that to council. They're not having any trouble meeting their obligation, and their 25% reserve is budgeted. We just want to be forward thinking in the ability to fund their 5-year plan going forward. The electric fund, we just had a rate study adopted. The electric fund, so our rates are set. From a cash flow perspective, electric is fine. They have adequate reserves. Their minimum reserve requirement is also met. They have the ability to fund their capital program, fund their CIP transfers without an issue, so we don't have any concerns in the electric fund. The airport fund, I'm happy to report, is still in a healthy cash position. That wasn't always the case at the airport, so the last few years have turned out well for the airport. With the new shelter agreement, that should only improve going forward. So the airport has been able to fund its reserve, as well as have some additional cash available. So we're in a good spot, you know, as far as the airport fund goes. Sanitation fund. Sanitation is in the black. Vehicle expense or capital replacement is one of the bigger expenditures for the sanitation fund. So when we look at sanitation, their trucks are fairly expensive, you know, about on average about $50,000. We're programmed to purchase a large number of vehicles in fiscal 15. So from a reserve perspective, sanitation will still maintain its 25%, but the amount that they have above 25% is starting to decline. They are in a positive cash flow situation wherein their revenues do come in above expenditures on an annual basis. So they will add to their cash position, but it will only be slightly from year to year. But with the replacement of the fleet, we should be set for an extended time. They don't have, you know, infrastructure or other things to maintain. So we're, you know, watching cash reserves and sanitation, but they're adequate for now. The Water Resources Fund, we don't have any concerns. We just adopted a rate study for the Water Resources Department. Jeff has a very specifically outlined capital plan, which was taken into consideration when we did the rate study. And they also have adequate reserves to fund their CIP plan, as well as their replacement request, and their operating cash flow is authorized. Hi. Well, golf is golf, and it's not cash flow positive. The general fund will probably have to bail golf out at the end of this fiscal year. We anticipate there being a loss in the golf fund. I think the idea of running golf courses was for them to be self-sufficient as an asset. Some of your other recreation facilities are not, you're not charging enough of fees to support it. Golf has just had its challenges and its ability to be self-sufficient. And some of the outsourcing of the management, we thought that would remedy the problem, but we've had some other issues kind of pop up.
I guess my point is it gets
is not a general purpose recreation where anybody can use it. I mean, you're buying a membership.
How about tennis?
Tennis, well, I imagine you could use the tennis courts. I'm not quite sure. I don't know if you can still use them when they're free. Transfers look like from the enterprises to the general fund. based on 6% of gross revenue. And these are the transfer amounts that are currently programmed for fiscal 16 to transfer into the general fund. The airport does not transfer. That would be considered revenue diversion by the FAA. Golf is in a deficit position, and stormwater is actually a trust fund, so it doesn't transfer out of stormwater. Any questions on the transfer?
What is the revenue diversion?
The FAA does not allow us to take money from the airport and divert it to other uses. So it needs to be used at the airport. Now we're going to talk about the general fund and what we can do to close the general fund gap. Real quick, I'm going to have it open. I was going to show you. When we discuss the general fund, I want to be able to show you what the current reserves are in the enterprises so that you can understand if you make an election to increase, transfer from the enterprises, what that looks like. So this is fiscal 15 that you're looking at. The first column here is the 25% reserve for fund balance that they're required to maintain. The second column is the amount above the 25% that they currently maintain. A few of the enterprises have other reserves. For example, in water and sewer, you have numeric nature criteria and some other things that they reserve money for. In electric, they're reserving out money for transfers for equipment. And then you'll see their total reserve on the other side. So for 16, we are forecasting these to be those requirements. The 25% is 25% of their operating expenditures in the fund. The reserve for consumer fees is what we expect them to have available above their minimum 25%. And the reserve for contingency is what the enterprises use to fund their capital plan, the transfers to the fleet department to purchase vehicles and things of that nature. So when we look at large balances in an enterprise fund, those can get eaten up very quickly through a five-year capital plan. The only way that reserves get replenished is when, at the end of an operating year, they brought in more revenue than they expended and they added to their bottom line. So if they're spending reserves more quickly than they are increasing operating cash, then we can get in a deficit position quickly. So we just want to be cognizant of that as we talk about the potential to increase transfers from the enterprise fund to cover deficits in the general fund. And we can, you know, come back and forth with this slide. One of the strategies we spoke about with regard to the general fund was the potential to reduce the reserve from 20% to 17%. So just to give council an idea of what that looks like, currently at the 20% reserve level, or at 17.7, that would be restricted reserve. Above that 17 million, we have what's called a reserve for contingencies, just like the enterprises. And we currently have 2.8 million above our minimum 20% reserve. And that 2.8 can be used for, you know, whatever council would like to spend it on. There's no restriction on the 2.8. So when we look at the general fund, we have gotten all of our state revenue estimates in. So we had a few revenues that were up a couple hundred thousand, some that were down a couple hundred thousand. So it kind of netted out for the most part. We also went back and worked with the departments on what things could we possibly live without in fiscal 16. Was there anything that we could do without? So when we were at about 8.2 earlier, we're at 7.5 presently for our deficit position. So I'm looking at what can we do to close that gap. We need to look at some of the things that may add to that deficit a little bit before we talk about closing it. The salary study projection. We told council that we were in the middle of the salary study. We have the draft report back. And the report came back, and they broke it up into a couple of different sections for us. They told us how many employees employees who reside in the general fund, the $277,000 figure is the total cost to bring them to the minimum of their rate. So if we implement that, that adds to the 7.5, just so council kind of gets an idea of where we're going. The quartile one is employees that have been here for more than 4 years, been there in years 4 through 8, or 5 through 8 of their career with the city in the particular position that they're in. So they look at their experience, knowledge, you know, multiple factors and say, from a career path, progression, you should be moving through your pay grade at this stage. So those employees should be higher than they are presently in their pay grade. And these are the costs that are represented by fund of what it would cost to bring those employees who are in year 5 years of their career to about, you know, closer to the midpoint of their range. Quartile two is employees that are here years 8 through 15 of their career. So same type of analysis, and this is where they should be along the path of progression in their pay grade. And those are the costs associated. And then quartile three was for long-term employees 15 years plus, where they should be in their pay grade. You know, basically, if you're working for the city for a certain amount of time, you want to get to top out by a certain year. And so that's what this is expressing. The study does not allow for all employees in the city to get a pay raise. For example, if they assessed your position internally, externally, you service all that, and they determine that you are the appropriate pay for your tenure and your position, then those employees are not included in these numbers. So we did a separate calculation for those employees in case council elected that they wanted to provide some type of a raise, you know, for those employees, like the cost of living or, you know, just a general wage increase. So we did three scenarios at 1%, 2%, and 3% for those particular employees to the salaries that we found that they were adequately paid for their promotion. So from this perspective, I just want to get helpful feedback on or what questions that you have related to the job study.
When would you want to implement this? The fiscal year or sometime during the fiscal year?
These projections are an implementation as of October 1.
And how much of this is being collectively bargained right now?
We are presently in negotiations with IBEW, as Councilor just signed this point of time. So these are all non-public safety positions. What we did last year was we determined what the rate scenarios would be, and we budgeted those funds so that when we reached an agreement with IBEW, we knew what dollars we had to play with. And this would be similar in nature if council elected that, you know, they wanted to do the minimum and bring everybody up to the their pay rate. That's something we could implement. We could do that directly with the union if we wanted to use some of the other quartiles. We would do that during the negotiation process and do that as an offer. But this just helps us to get funds in the budget so we kind of know, you know, where we're heading. If you were to implement all the way through the third quartile, yes. The grand total of that would be the impact to the general fund. So council can elect any portion thereof. If we want to do the minimum first quartile, and general wage increase. So council can kind of slice and dice that, but this is a maximum impact, if you will. No. like to look at, you know, maybe in the report, some employees are more egregious, if you will, but severely below where they should be. So, you know, we could look at scenarios, you know, for employees in the other quartiles. If someone is, you know, a large percentage below where they should be, so we might have to do some exceptions, if you will, instead of doing the whole quartile. And then we can look at maybe a general wage increase for others.
Thank you.
increase in salaries at 95%, and increasing the enterprise stretch funds to 7% instead of the current 6%. Strategy B maintains three of those strategies. The difference there is an increase of the millage from the current rate, an additional 0.4589, which equates to $45.89 for 100,000 of assessed value. Strategy C is the reduction of the reserve using the contingencies and an increase in the millage for the current rate by 0.7487, which is 74.87 per 100,000 of assessed value. Strategy D looks at an increase of enterprise transfers to 7%, general fund reserve contingency usage, public safety salaries at 97%, and then an increase in millage of 0.6627, which is $66.27 per 100,000 of assessed value.
Is that the maximum millage increase?
No, that is not. It's I can show you what those are.
That's okay. I just wanted to know that it's not the maximum.
It is not. Basically, in a nutshell, whatever council does not make up via a millage increase, you know, we have just a few options to make up the difference. At the maximum millage increase, council would bring in an additional about $5 million if you went all the way up to the 7.3. So anything down from there, you know, is lesser ad valorem, and then we just have to either increase enterprise transfers, utilize reserve, you know, decrease our transfer. So there's just a few options. So council can kind of come in anywhere they choose to within those options. We can talk about, you know, pros, cons.
Go ahead, you're talking.
Well, of course, you know, the millage is what council controls. So any amount of millage that you bring in lessens the impact on other funds as far as them having to transfer to the general fund. Any increase in transfer of the enterprise fund, of course, reduces their reserve balance, which could potentially impact their capital plan, you know, going forward. We can kind of keep that in mind as we look at out here at the usage of the reserves. Using reserve for contingencies, the issue there is helpful with lesser options should, you know, something catastrophic happen. And throughout the year, from time to time, council does utilize reserve. If somebody comes with a budget request or something we didn't budget for, you know, or price increases on something, those are the different things that we utilize reserves for. We run into an overtime issue with public safety if we had, you know, wildfires or...
Yeah, but we've never done a multi-million-dollar contingency.
We have not done a multi-million... Well, you mean as far as us using reserves to balance?
No.
Oh, a catastrophe, no. We have not. Sometimes it, you know, can be up to $300,000 to $400,000 we have done. And we've had it throughout the year. But to the tune of, you know, multiple millions, we have not. Thankfully, I've not run into those scenarios.
How much does when the hurricanes came through, you know, before? Does anybody remember how much we used at that point?
About five.
I don't recall. I think we got $2 million from FEMA, but a lot of that was in utilities. So
it's about $5+ million, most of it we got back from FEMA.
So would you have used contingency during the interim, or would you have used the enterprise funds themselves?
The enterprise would have their own contingencies, so they would pay for their own overtime issues. The majority of that. Sanitation also, public work.
But they all have their contingencies also.
I mean, you'd run some overtime with maybe police and fire initially, but the long haul really has to be utilities and so it's not as much of a risk, you know, for the general fund.
Are you looking for a decision tonight on this, or do you plan to see and the public safety at either 95 or 97, and I would just hit it at 95. And then I think you need to take a combination of the general fund contingency and the and an increase in the millage to balance it out. I would like to see us, if we use the 2.5 in the general fund, that's all of it, right?
Well, we still have about $400,000 or $500,000 left.
Well, I'd like to see a minimum of at least $1 million or $1.5 million on the reserve. Everybody else will. That's above the 20%. Yeah. But.
Well, the council's option is just to increase the millage enough to where we can make that happen.
Men and women.